Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Today we're going to continue our thought. This is a really important message. I would call it the penultimate message of the month, the celebration of the theme, the God of More Than Enough. Today I call it Covered by Covenant. Covered by Covenant. I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 55. We're beginning with verse 8. Some of you know this by heart. God says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The word higher there in the Hebrew doesn't indicate just altitude, but vastness, bigness, heights and depths and widths. God's ways and thoughts are so much bigger than ours. That's one of the things that makes him so much more than enough. Verse 10, "For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The Bible says that the word God speaks will always prosper. It will have enough power, enough juice, enough resource to complete the purpose for which it was spoken in the first place. If God said it, it's coming. It may not be manifested in your life yet, but if God said it, it is coming, it is on the way. And as we sang earlier, who am I to limit what God can do, right? I want to weave in Psalm 33, and then we'll be off and running. The inerrant, the inspired, the infallible. I love this word. Psalm 33, verse 18 from the Message. Watch this, God's eye is on those who respect him, the ones who are looking for his love. I think that's a great way to put it. God's eye is on those who respect him, the ones who are looking for his love. He's ready to come to their rescue in bad times. In lean times, he keeps body and soul together. Boy, isn't that important. We're depending on God. He's everything we need. Say it with me. He's everything we need. That's right. What's more, our hearts brim with joy since we've taken for our own his holy name. Love us, God, with all you've got. That's what we're depending on. Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart today? Let your word dwell in us richly, that we can understand it, take it into ourselves. Father, we thank you that your word has free reign in this place, and we receive it today by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you didn't get a chance to see or watch last week, hear it, please go online. We keep everything online for you, archived, so you can get a fresh mindset. Last week's message was called Attack Your Lack. Don't miss it. Please go online and look at it. Now, you ever had somebody promise to do something for you, maybe even several times, only to make excuses, break their word, and disappoint you? You ever had that? We all have. It's tragic we live in a world that uses false promises to exploit, manipulate, or control us. Commercials, ads, politicians. Someone said, "We've been promised the moon and given marbles." I like that saying. However, even in the midst of this atmosphere of doubt and disappointment in our nation today and in our world, manipulation, mistrust, we have to know this. When God comes into our lives, we discover that our relationship and connection with him is 100% based on promises. Your relationship with God is only as strong as you're holding to the promises that he's made in his word. That's the truth. Think about it. He promises he'll never leave us or forsake us, but we can't see him with our physical eyes. He promises salvation, healing, blessing, strength, protection. And he asks us to trust his integrity. He asks us to trust his integrity. That means he asks us to believe his word. The Bible says, that even in the Old Testament, remind him of his word. Remind him of his word. Father God, you said in your word. That's why we stand on the promises of God. Father God, you said in your word. Just like when your kids say to you, hey, you promised if I did this, you would do this for me. They will not forget. We as God's children can't forget. We have to remind him of his promises. The Bible says, forget not all his benefits. He asks us to trust his integrity. Integrity is defined as the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, or moral uprightness. Well, I'll tell you, the most morally upright and honest is God himself. We talked about it last week. His inability to lie, his guarantee to watch over his word covers us. It covers us. Now, you probably never heard of the name Jonas Hanway, an Englishman who lived 1712 to 1786, spent his early years traveling the world as a merchant marine on ships and building quite a fortune. Upon returning to London, he used his wealth to establish many hospitals and philanthropic gestures. He's even buried with royals and famous leaders in Westminster Abbey. But what he's most famous for is the invention and introduction to daily life of the modern umbrella. Jonas Hanway went on a trip and saw women in Persia, modern-day Iran, with parasols, little silk little things to guard them from the sun. And when he got back to England, he said, if I could take animal skins, I might be able to take and make something to protect us from all this London rain. Amen. The problem was this. It was ungentlemanly. It was unmanly. It was considered effeminate. It was considered, he was a laughingstock, especially as it started causing the hackney cabs, in those days horse-drawn carriages. They were mad because if this man could get people to walk around with an umbrella, they might not need a covered wagon to take them from place to place. They might walk. So Jonas Hanway, when he built the first one out of animal skins and whale bones, he called it the portable roof. And he was heckled for 30 years of his life from his invention until he passed away in 1786. The interesting part of the story is that he got the last laugh. Before he passed away, most men in London were using the portable roof. They were using this newfangled thing called the umbrella. Three people get that anyway. Until that time, real men get soaked in the rain was the motto in London. The wetter you are, the more manly you are. Till one man said, that's enough. I'm tired of being drenched. Our God is a covenant-keeping God, and his promises cover us. His promises cover us. Are you under the covering of God's promise, or are you under the covering of nothing but wishful thinking? God's promises cover us like an umbrella protects you from the elements of the weather. The Bible says, Psalm 84, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's a promise of abundant life. Even in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, my friends, an umbrella doesn't control the weather. In fact, life will rain down challenges. But God's covenant word will provide extra layers of protection against all the elements. I love this quote that Ed Young said recently from Dallas, Texas. He said, we need to get under those things God has put over us so we can get over those things God has put under us. I love that thought. His covenant is his umbrella. Unfortunately, we live in a culture with little understanding or regard for what a covenant actually means. The Western mindset, we don't get the thing about covenant. We don't really celebrate it. We don't understand it like they do in Eastern cultures, or how strong and resilient our covenant with God is. The highest thing we can often think about is a contract. Anybody bought a house recently or refinanced their home? My gosh, the paperwork is this thick. Do you double swear? Do you triple swear? Do you pinky swear? Do you swear that it's you? Do you swear that it's only you? Do you swear you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? These things were done 100 years ago on a handshake. And there was honor. My grandfather was a Methodist pastor in southern New Jersey for over 40 years. And they didn't make a lot of money. But when he was heading toward retirement, my grandfather had one of his parishioners, who was a contractor, say, look, we've got a lot in Ocean City, New Jersey. I don't know if you've ever been to Ocean City. Some of you might have. South of Atlantic City. Ocean City is a Methodist community. It was founded as a Methodist community. And so a lot of the old-time Methodists still owned land there. And this builder offered to build my grandfather and grandmother a retirement place just a few blocks off the beach in southern New Jersey. I think my dad told me it was $3,600. Today it would be worth, well, if it was still in the family, it would probably be worth $1 million or more. $3,600. And when my grandfather made the deal with his parishioner to build that place, they never signed anything, I don't think. They did it on a handshake because it was on the builder's honor and my grandfather's honor as Christian men. A contract is a written or verbal agreement made between two or more parties, especially regarding employment, sales, or real estate that is intended to be enforceable by law. Here's the difference between a contract and a covenant primarily. In a contract, the parties remain separate. The party of the first part agrees with the party of the second part, right? So the parties remain separate. Think of oil and vinegar. Oil and vinegar, you can shake them up and make them into salad dressing, but you pour them on and they start to separate. They're still two different entities. They mix, but they're two entities. But in a covenant is higher than a contract because the two or more parties become one entity. They become one entity. There's a supernatural aspect of covenant that is a mystery. But God says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. When you got saved, you came into a covenant situation, not a contract situation. You are not an independent free agent. You have been bought with a price. You've been purchased and you've been redeemed, and you are now one with the Lord as you join with him. And as that becomes more and more relatable and you understand that and work that in your life, this is the type of agreement we had with the God of more than enough. Why does he promise us more than enough? Because he is more than enough. And because we are now one with him and have access to everything that he is and everything that he has. Remember when the prodigal son comes home and the father says, let's slay the fatted calf. My son is home. And what happens? The elder brother gets upset and says, well, this guy went and blew the inheritance and you're welcoming him home. You didn't have a party for me. We didn't have steak. And the father says, son, didn't you know that all that I have was already yours all this time. If we didn't have steak, it's because you never asked. I hope you're getting this today. The Old Testament covenant, the old covenant, we call it, was executed by human action of obedience. But the new covenant was something that Jesus did. It has been ratified by a blood oath, listen, between God the Father and Jesus the Son. It is an unbreakable and perfect covenant. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. The Bible calls it the everlasting covenant. And it is based fully on Jesus' righteousness and sacrifice, not yours and not mine, thank God. Let me say it this way. A covenant is so strong, the covenant we have with God is so strong, we can't mess it up. I didn't say you would receive all the benefits, but you cannot mess up this covenant. If you, once you come into that covenant, you cannot mess it up. You can't humanly go, oops, and say, oh, well, I'm disqualified from the covenant. But that's what the enemy wants you to believe. Lies in your head. I messed up. I failed. I did something faithless. I turned my back. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. I had the wrong attitude in my heart. Let me tell you something. It is not that fragile. The covenant is between God the Father and Jesus the Son. Let me give you a scripture. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. This is God the Father speaking prophetically of the Messiah, Jesus, who was to come. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Well, my friends, we might carry some of that light today, but Jesus is the light. That perfect covenant is between God the Father and God the Son, and Jesus has already finished it. When he hung on the cross and said, it is finished, he was talking about the price was fully paid. It was all done. All we have to do on the human side is receive it by faith. Receive the free gift and open it up and celebrate him for it. Honor him. But it's not, the covenant is not fragile. Now, I'm not saying that your behavior in this life is not important, because it is. The way you live your life counts, but it doesn't save you, it doesn't bring you into covenant or not. Let me try to say it this way. I've had people come to me as a pastor and say, I'm so afraid of the end times. Because I'm not fully living for God right now. And if Jesus came, I don't know if he would receive me or condemn me to hell. Can I tell you that the covenant of God is about whether Jesus is Lord of your life? Now, if Jesus is Lord of your life, there should be evidence of that. But that evidence doesn't save you. The finished work of the cross at Calvary saves you. That's what you got to get in your heart. Yes, the way you live counts, because you will reap in certain areas what you sow. But the covenant itself, the covenant that saves you, the covenant that bought back everything in you, the covenant with the God of more than enough, is not based on you and me. It's based on the Father and the Son, who already came into agreement and already fulfilled it, and it is finished. Jesus is our covenant. Isaiah 42 is a messianic prophecy. It's not about Israel and it's not about church. It's about Jesus. Jesus is our covenant. The agreement for the redemption of mankind has been made between God the Father and God the Son. Therefore, it is unbreakable. We cannot add to it or subtract from it. It is perfect. It takes our self-righteous actions off the table. Why is this important? Because every time you and I mess up, the enemy comes and says, oh, You did it now. God's mad at you? How many times you have something bad going on and the first thing goes, oh man, I did something. I did something wrong. And God's mad at me. The covenant. God the Father poured out all of his wrath on sin upon Jesus on the cross. And he's not mad at you anymore. That doesn't mean you always put a smile on his face any more than every teenager puts a smile on their parents' face every day, 24 hours a day. I don't mean just to call out the teenagers. I'm sure children can put a frown on your face as well. But I'm a grandfather now. They don't put the same frown on my face. They just go home. That's why it's called grandparenting. Because you get the hugs, and parents get the discipline. And you get to enjoy watching them do it. It's divine justice. Now, not only this, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, has been poured out as proof of our inheritance, proof of our covenant, proof of our benefit, proof of everything. Look at this. Ephesians 1, from the end of verse 13, says this, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. My friends, when we do something as a church legally, like the mortgage on the legacy building, we have a corporate seal. And we had to seal that thing, and you press down, and that and the logo, if you will, of the church comes through the paper, and it won't disappear. It's in the paper. It's etched into the paper itself. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our corporate seal, that we have legally been assured that we have been bonded, guaranteed by God himself. A good faith deposit, a down payment, or a guarantee. When you sense his presence in worship this morning, or you experience his anointing, or you interact with his power, know that it is only a taste. It is an introductory touch of the reality of his kingdom. Jesus said, when you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and tell them, today the kingdom of God has come near to you. That's the deposit. This is the taste of the kingdom. This is just the beginning. Young David had such confidence in his covenant that he could brashly boast in God's guaranteed covering. As he declared to King Saul in 1 Samuel 17:36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. When he calls attention to the fact that Goliath was an uncircumcised Philistine, he wasn't talking about anything gross. He was talking about he has no covenant. This giant you're facing now has no covenant with the living God, but you do. But you do. I thought you would get that. Let me say it again. Whatever you're facing right now, your giant, your situation, that lie has no covenant with the living God, but you do. You have a covenant. When you get this, it'll transform your faith and it'll transform your life. Every enemy of your soul has been gutted. by the sinless blood of the cross at Calvary by Jesus himself, rendered powerless except for his intimidation and bullying mind control. That's where we lose it, because the enemy comes to try to whisper bullying thoughts, intimidating thoughts into your brain to talk you out of pursuing what God has said is already done. Based on how you did today. And that's not how it works. It's based on how Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Thank God. The sacrifice of a spotless lamb testifies in every courtroom of heaven that the accuser has been defeated and you and I have been found not guilty, not because we were innocent, but because Jesus absorbed all of our punishment and took away the guilt. That's why the Bible can truthfully declare in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. My friends, the old covenant contains salvation, healing, blessing, deliverance too. But it was still based on human effort. We've been given a better covenant with better promises. Better covenant with better promises. The God of more than enough steps up again and again and again and covers you with his everlasting covenant. Covers you with an everlasting covenant. That's how Paul the Apostle could be so confident when he boldly proclaimed in Philippians 4:19 from the Amplified, and my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My friends, indeed, he is more than enough. Now here's how I'll close. If you're not covered by the New Testament, by the new covenant of grace, you're automatically covered by the old covenant of law. That's why people feel the guilt and the shame that they feel, because it's not, if you're still without the covenant of Christ, the new covenant, the better covenant with better promises, you're stuck. You're under an old covenant called law. And law is a cruel taskmaster. Law is cruel. Law will keep you down, push you down, make you guilty, and leave you ashamed. But the new covenant pulls you up. If you're not covered by the new covenant of grace, say, Pastor, how do I do that? You open your heart and you ask Jesus to come inside your life. We've been praying and believing for Easter Sunday, for weather, for candy, for helicopters, for pilots, everything on time. But behind it all has been our prayer. We're believing for more than 100 people to meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior next Sunday in this place. Between our churches, we're believing for 100 or more. That's where our faith is. You say, well, has that ever happened before? Yes, many, many times. Many, many times. God is a God of abundance. The old covenant law demanding perfection, making you feel guilty and ashamed, has been made null and void by the blood of Jesus. And now we've been given something better, something stronger, something different, because it's not based on us. It's based on him. What's our takeaway today? Quit letting the storms of life soak you and saturate you, weighing you down with the burdens of uncertainty. Open up his umbrella, the new covenant God has provided to cover you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We trust you. Help us to trust you more. Father, today we are convicted to the core of the strength of your integrity and the power of your word, that your word rules and reigns, guards and governs, that your word has free course inside of us. Jesus, let your covenant be our covering. Let the price you paid work in our lives this week as we see people that are hurting, as we meet people that are broken, as we meet people that are under an old covenant and therefore feeling so broken and guilty and alone. Would you bring us to those people this week into their lives that we can be part of the blessing of heaven? I want to urge you today, whether you're in the room, whether you're watching us online, come to Jesus today with all your deficiencies. Come with all your imperfections. Come to him with all your sin. Come to him with all your mess and quit saying, well, I got to fix some things before I can come to God. No, you do not. No, you do not. You're getting the cart before the horse. You need to come to him just like you are. Just like it was last night. Or just like it was this week. Bring him your giants. Give him your heart. And he gives you his covering covenant. You can trust him. You can trust him. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Would you reveal Jesus in this place to anyone who is outside that covenant today? Anyone hanging under the covering of guilt and shame? Today we ask you, Lord, show your mercy as someone steps out of the storm that they're in and comes under your portable roof. If you're here today, I want to pray for you before we go. You may say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm not a church person. That's fine. I kind of prefer unchurched people sometimes coming in because you don't have to unlearn them a bunch of junk. They're just hungry to know God. His love never fails, never gives up. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right now all over this place? Say, Pastor, I want to live for God. That's what it is. I want to live for God. I want to live for him. Put your hand up and keep it up just for a moment. God bless you, sir. Is there someone else? God bless you, sir, in the back. Is there someone else? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, sir. Right over here. Yes, sir. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Praise God. Several hands going up. Yes, I see you in the back over there. God bless you. God bless you. Man, God is doing something great today. Those of you that raised your hand and those around, I'm going to pray for you in a second, but I want to lead you in a prayer first. Everybody pray this out loud with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe your word. I need your covenant to work in my life. I give you my heart and ask you to help me to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible talks about repentance. And that's not just saying I'm sorry. That's a genuine turning away. It's like you're going one way. You say, you know what, God, I'll help me change direction. And he will. He will. That's when the work begins, but it's the Holy Spirit and you, not you by yourself. Amen. If you need a Bible, if you got saved today, or maybe you're newer to things of God, you need a Bible, see one of us after church. We have a free Bible for you. We want to help you to grow in the things of God. We appreciate all the things that are happening here. Next week is an all hands on deck type of day. That means if you're serving in this church in some department, please let them know this week that you can be part of serving next week. Let's open this building next week, twice on Sunday as we do, but let's open it up for the community to come in and to meet with Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.